The body of 34-year-old Nicole Brown Simpson, ex-wife of O.J. Simpson, was found.
Really believe Kurt Cobain is dead.
Millions of people mourned the tragic death of John Lennon today.
Struggles to come to terms with the death of Princess Diana. Waiting for
word. What's going on?
Hello, hello, hello.
Hi, welcome back to Fame and Misfortune.
Somebody's in a singing mood.
You know what? I sing a lot of things. Also, I got free shit today at work.
Oh, well, then you're in the best mood.
So, you know.
I love free stuff. And I'm not talking,
like, it's full size. It's none of this tester bullshit.
Oh, that's the best days.
I'm just going to go ahead and plug this real quick.
Okay.
So, there's a brand new blush out for those of you beauty lovers. Benefits Gold Rush. It literally debuted today, but this is going to be playing in the future, so.
I was going to say.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it.
It's brand fucking new. It's okay. So pretty. It's like a nice mix between the dandelion and then the Coralista or the California. It's like,
I was going to say the
it's
California.
It's like a subtle in-between.
Okay.
So it's still pink. It's got a gold, like, leafing kind of hue to it.
Interesting.
So it gives you a nice luminosity.
Interesting.
It's phenomenal. Also, the Gimme Brow is back. What?
Oh, did you finally get it in again?
Yeah.
Oh, thank God.
So I got a few people asking. And then I got something else. Oh, I got the brand new airbrush concealer.
Ooh.
Very excited.
That is super exciting, actually. I'm very much looking forward to my big delivery coming in to work hopefully soon. But if it's anything like our supply orders, it'll be months.
Oh, yeah, at least. Which is, so. And I'm anticipating that with my, because I get some,
yeah.
some stuff
yeah.
from the company.
It's always nice when it shows up, like, randomly, and you're like,
sorry,
oh, I didn't even know I was getting anything. Just like when you check the mail and you don't have bill.
So, Andrew, my husband, the other day was like, I don't know why I keep introducing him. Like, people don't already fucking know me and know that he's... Okay. So, Andrew, the other day was like, I like ordering shit off of Amazon. Let's buy things so that we can have deliveries when we get home.
I know. Isn't it nice to come home to something
good? Yeah, it's like a little present. Like
a I'm supposed to have a Macy's order tomorrow come in. I know.
Yes.
New shoes, new heels, so pink, metallic.
Of course.
I know.
Are they work? Appropriate? Are you gonna wear
them? I mean, they are work appropriate, but they're a little high, so probably just strictly going out and dress up. Okay. And then, like, a baby blue top that I'm hoping works for Easter.
Yeah.
Ideally, I was gonna wear white pants, but that hasn't worked out for me yet.
Right.
So.
Got it. Well,
you know, whatever.
I know last episode we plugged our Instagram and our email.
Oh, but by the time this episode comes out, it'll be after Easter, so just kidding on the outfit thing. Don't worry about
See,
it.
See, what
stress
we're doing
it.
Right now is we're pre-recording because we know we've got a lot of shit
well,
coming
up. But you know, we're busy people.
We you know what? If we
have
knock
jobs.
All kill all these birds with one stone.
Yes.
We're gonna do it.
That's
so,
right.
You know what? You're not recording the podcast. Fucking listen to it and deal with it. How about
That's
that?
Right.
I'm the mean one. My name's Erin. Welcome to Fame and Misfortune.
I'm Stephanie.
She is not as mean, but can be if she needs to, I feel like.
I can be a little sassy.
Yeah.
That's true.
I'm straight up mean.
Well, let's not be too mean.
It's a coping mechanism, okay?
Okay. For your head injury?
Yeah. Yes, from my head injury. Yeah, what I was saying is last week we plugged our Instagram and our email, and we literally just finished recording that episode, so we haven't gotten anything in the email yet. But I would like to just reiterate if you want to send us anything.
Literally anything.
Literally anything.
Except just, dick pics.
Yeah, no, none of that. We don't need any
Please.
Of that.
No nudes.
No nudes.
With two zeros.
Right.
And a Z.
And a Z. Did you see that there's a guy in the 54W building in Orlando that made his Christmas lights spell send nudes? And
Stop
they,
it.
It took them
That's
forever
brilliant.
To figure out which floor he was on so they could tell him to take it down.
That's so brilliant.
And you can, if you don't live in Orlando, you can't see, or you can see the 54 West building from I-4. It's like a huge landmark.
Mm-hmm.
So it's this, I mean, the
right
amount
on
of...
Church Street?
Yeah. The amount of lights he had to have to write send nudes must have been
Yeah, but,
impressive.
Like, only on his balcony?
Correct.
Or like, okay.
So you had to, like, you had to look for
And, like, count?
And, yeah, exactly. So.
so funny. That's brilliant.
Yeah.
But honestly, nobody would know how to get a hold of him, so it's just funny at that point. It's like, it's not like it was being serious.
So our Instagram is FAM, podcast, and then our Twitter is @FAMPodcast, if that's how Twitter works.
They're both like that. So both Instagram and Twitter are
@FAM,
but you can search Instagram without the @ in front of it.
Right. Oh, can you?
Yeah. Okay. You don't need the @.
Well,
just educating you one step at a time.
We're going to learn.
Yeah.
And then our email is fameandmisfortune, those two words spelled out, @gmail.com. And then we have a website. It's fameandmisfortunepodcast.com.
Sweet.
So find us on social media. We're on Stitcher. We're on SoundCloud. We're on
iTunes.
We're Podomatic. On Podomatic.
I think that's it for now.
Google Play.
Yes.
And I think we're almost on Spotify, or we might be on Spotify. I don't fucking know.
Look for us there. If we're not, we're elsewhere.
Yeah, we're somewhere. You can find us.
Sure.
So last episode, Stephanie did Oscar Pistorius.
Yeah.
Right? Pistoria?
Mm-hmm. Pistorius.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he is a complicated son of a gun.
Yeah.
Maybe had some mental health issues going on.
Yeah, and they're a beautiful couple. He was very handsome, and she's very pretty. But good looks don't mean everything, people. Right, they can be very deceiving.
Uh-huh, yep, definitely. So, it was just, I found it really, really sad that she was kind of in her prime, so to speak. Like, yes. She was just getting started. Very similar to Judith. Judith Farsi, who I did a couple episodes ago. Mm-hmm. Just getting started, like, kind of in the prime of her life, ready to kind of just take on the world and absolutely kick its ass. So, also, with that being said, this past week, in Orlando, Waitress, the musical, is touring.
Yeah.
And for those of you who know me, you know that I am obsessed with musicals. I listen to them.
Yeah, I saw constantly. That it was downtown on Sunday.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. I was going to take my mom, but tickets were already sold out.
Of course.
It's a sad time. But I believe very open-heartedly that theater is magic and musicals are,
wonderful.
Life. Yeah. And I'm just going to live that way forever. Anywho, the reason I mention that is because the murder that I'm doing today is the actual writer and director of Waitress, the film.
Oh.
That was adapted into Waitress, the musical.
Fascinating.
Yeah. She is basically just a badass. Her name was Adrienne Shelley. Her name is Adrienne Shelley. She was born in 1966, June 24th, 1966. She was actually born Adrienne Levine, but she's known as Adrienne Shelley. That's her stage name.
Okay.
She was an actress, director, and screenwriter. She became known in her independent film roles, such as 89's Unbelievable Truth and 1990's Trust. She wrote, co-starred, and directed the 2007 released film Waitress, not to be confused with Waiting, which is a satire and funny film. And
yes.
Stars Ryan
with
Reynolds.
Dane Cook.
And Dane Cook. Welcome to the Thunderdome, bitch.
Is Ryan Reynolds in that?
He is. He's, like, the main character in it. He is my hero. He's the guy who's showing the dude
Dane
around.
Cook
Dane Cook is in it. Okay. Dane Cook is in the kitchen.
And he's also in, that one with Jessica Simpson.
Oh, Employee of the Month? Is that it?
I don't know. Maybe?
It's, like, something to do with supermarkets and shopping.
Yeah, like, they work at, like, a Costco or something.
Yeah, basically, yes.
Sorry.
Sidebar.
Very big sidebar.
Ryan Reynolds is my actual dad.
It is Employee of the Month, really quick.
Yes. Because we're all about facts on this podcast. We need to be as up-to-date on our information as possible. So, thanks, Wikipedia.
So funny.
So, basically, she kicked ass and was releasing Waitress, which was set to come out in 2007. And in late 2006, she was waiting to hear, if it would be accepted for the Sundance Film Festival when she was found dead, hanging from the shower of her Greenwich Village I don't fucking New York. God damn it.
What? Seriously?
I don't understand.
Do you really
things.
Think you pronounce that W?
Yeah. Greenwich. It's what no. it says. It says Greenwich.
Well, which
Green Witch.
One listen, would either okay, have an, another H in it, which it doesn't, or it would have a T in it, which it also doesn't, which is why the English language is so confusing.
Hashtag bullshit.
Which way is it? Is she it which in a T, or is it which with the H? It's witch, the same witch. Word.
Which?
Bitch.
Ooh, that's a really good restaurant. Have you ever been there? Because it's real good.
Yeah.
I'm into I witch, have, witch.
But honestly.
I am feeling food right now.
Literally, which?
Which?
Why can't we pick one way to spell something?
Well, I'm going
to
tell you which. It's Greenwich. In her Greenwich fucking village work studio apartment, she was found dead hanging from the shower curtain. Initially, cops are like, well, she killed herself. And her husband's like, definitely not. That's not what happened. She did not kill herself. Look into it more. And so it just got much more, what's the word I'm looking for? And, deeper? Darker? The...
Both?
Crazy. It got wild, basically.
Okay.
So, her husband's like, there's absolutely no reason that she would have killed herself.
Right.
Something is wrong.
Right.
And convinced police to look into it more. So, a little bit of backstory on, Adrienne. She was born in Queens, New York to, Sheldon Levine and Elaine Langbaum. I should have looked at the names before I chose this murder because New Yorkers always have wild fucking names. Okay. She had two brothers, Jeff and Mark, who were raised, the three of them were raised on Long Island. She began performing when she was about 10, at Stage Door Manor Performing Arts Theater. She made her professional debut in a summer stock production of the musical Annie, which is a personal favorite, while a student at Jericho High School. She went in Jericho, New York. She went on to Boston University, majoring in film production, and dropped out her junior year and moved to Manhattan, which I feel like is a trend up north.
What, to move to Manhattan?
Yeah, to drop out of school and be like, I'm going to make it big time, and just kind of...
Fair enough.
So, Shelley, who took her professional surname after her father's given name... which is Sheldon, obviously. She took Shelley.
Mm-hmm.
Smart. She got married to Andy Ostroy, the chairman and CEO of the marketing firm Bellardi Ostroy? I don't know.
Let me
firm.
See that.
He was important. Why?
Because I'm curious how it's spelled.
Where are we at? I'm up here somewhere.
Andy Ostroy to chairman and CEO... of marketing from Bellardi and Ostroy. Okay.
Is that where you worked? Did you work there?
No. I didn't have a job when I... Please. I was... I
well,
should
I remember
have.
You saying you did paralegal stuff at one
oh,
point.
Oh, yeah. I did that. I was actually just like... Well, I went to school for that for a minute, but I was a runner for a lawyer downtown in Orlando.
Hmm.
It paid actually really well.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And I got paid for my lunch breaks and for mileage on my vehicle.
My route took me out to lunch today.
That was nice.
It. Ass. Yeah, it was great.
Where'd you guys go?
Panera.
Oh, good choice.
It was really good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mine's never taken me out to dinner or lunch.
Shout out.
Or coffee.
Caitlin? Is it Caitlin?
Yeah. I'm just kidding.
Please
no,
don't
I'm
listen
just
to
being,
this.
I'm just being Chicken. Greedy. Sorry.
Right, obviously. Me too. I
I'm just
definitely
teasing.
Shouldn't have said any of that. But
that's
whatever.
Okay.
Here we are. She got married to this big, important CEO. His name was Andy Ostroy, and, by
now
all accounts...
that's the New York dream.
Yeah. By all accounts, she kicked ass. So, she was killing it in film. He was... Or theater or whatever. I don't know. Fucking... and he was killing it in the business world, and they had a daughter born in 2003. Her name was Sophie.
Cute.
I know. And she was 2 years old when her mom died.
Oh, so sad.
My favorite fun fact about her is that she described herself as an optimistic agnostic. So, which is just, it's such a pleasant way to describe yourself. You know what I mean? Like I
I'm
honestly have no fucking clue, but I mean, I'm hoping for the best.
I'm into
is
that.
Is what she's saying. So, yeah, she's an optimistic agnostic, and I appreciate
that. Should
it.
Be my new Instagram bio.
Yes. as she changes it right immediately right now in this moment.
I'm not doing that.
So her career breakthrough as an actress came when she starred in The Unbelievable Truth in 1989. She was the lead, and then she went on to do Trust in 1990, so just 1 year following, which was Trust was nominated for the Grand Jury Prize at Sundance Film Festival, where Hartley's script for The Unbelievable Truth tied for the Waldo Salt Screenwriting Award. So basically, her first two films were big, fancy, important ones that won awards.
Sure.
And she was, like, just kind of already on top of her game. She also guest starred in, like, a million television series, including Law & Order, Oz, Homicide, Life on the Street. And she also played major roles in over 24 off-Broadway plays at Manhattan's Workhouse Theater. In 2005, okay. She appeared in The Factotum, starring Matt Dillon. I don't know what that is. Factotum, excuse me. Factotum starring Matt Dillon. So basically, this girl is hitting the ground running. She lives for theater. It is her life. If you have never done a play, you don't understand how taxing it can be, because not only are you signing on to play this role,
right,
you know, 5 nights a week for 2 to 4 weeks straight, but you're also signing on for all of the rehearsals, yep, and all of the, you know,
dress rehearsals.
The dress rehearsals and the set calls, and you have to have your own costumes, and you have to buy them.
Makeup.
And to pay for it.
Do your own makeup. Get yourself ready.
You have to have time off of work. You have to... It's a
huge commitment.
Huge commitment. A big, giant challenge. So, for her to have done over 24 off-Broadway plays is a massive undertaking.
That's huge.
She starred in 2 independent films and lots of series drop-in roles, you know?
So, can I do a real quick sidebar about your people?
Yeah.
So, I was looking into the daughter to see if she was into acting.
Mm-hmm.
She's not. But then, of course, the parents came up, and there was a picture with her father, Andy, and Cheryl Hines, which... I'm sure if you saw her familiar, she's in Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yeah.
She plays Larry David's wife, so she's pretty much very popular for that. But she's married to a Kennedy, dun-dun-dun, for 3 years.
Illuminati.
But she's also a Florida girl.
Oh.
So she was born in Miami, and she went to University of Central Florida.
UCF.
Mm-hmm. And to Tallahassee Community College.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was kind of interesting.
It's very interesting.
Anyway, the reason they know each other, Andy and Cheryl, is because he produced and she directed Serious Moonlight.
Wow.
Which gives me David Bowie song vibes, which I just heard earlier.
Yes.
So,
ugh.
Yeah. Which David. Serious Moonlight had Meg Ryan.
Ooh.
And Kristen Bell.
That sounds like a Meg Ryan movie.
And Justin Long.
I am in love with Kristen Bell.
Me too. Marshall too.
Also Justin Long. Okay. So.
Sorry.
That was a nice sidebar and a fun fact that I didn't know.
Yeah.
So during the 1990s, Shelley segued towards behind the camera stuff.
Okay.
She kind of decided that she really liked the behind the scenes directing,
Creating versus...
Exactly, sort of stuff.
Yeah.
So she wrote and directed the 1999 I'll Take You There, in which she appeared along with Ally Sheedy.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I don't know anything about that film or who that person is.
You don't know who Ally Sheedy is?
I probably would if I saw her face. I want to say, is she Punky Brewster? No, that's Soleil Moon Frye.
Yes, Soleil.
Which is an amazing name. Take me there. I want to be Soleil.
Ally Sheedy. I'm sure she looks
She's in
familiar.
10 Things I Hate About You. Right?
She
is the best friend in 10 Things I Hate About You.
She's one the girlfriend. She's in the Breakfast Club.
Nuh-uh.
Yes.
Oh, shit.
She plays the young girl.
Oh, shit.
She plays Miss Moody.
I knew I knew that name.
Mm-hmm.
Allison is her name in the Breakfast Club, which is...
Yes.
For the reason we're all so appalled is because that is my favorite film of all time.
And St. Elmo's Fire.
And
St. Awesome.
Elmo's Fire. She was one of the Brat Pack.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck. How did I miss that? I'm going to get my shit together one of these days, you guys. She won, and this is not Ally Sheedy, this is, Adrienne Shelley. She won the U.S. Comedy Arts Festival Film Discovery Jury Award. Jesus Christ, that's a mouthful.
No kidding.
In 2000 for direction of a film, and Prize of the City of Setubal? I don't fucking know.
What?
It's like S-E-T-U with an accent mark, B-A-L. Setubal? Sure. I don't know. City. She won the prize of the city. Special mention at a festival at Troia International Film Festival held in Setubal. It's a Portuguese city.
Okay.
I don't know. She got she won awards, guys. She was important and she did shit and she won awards for it.
For sure.
She wrote, directed, co-set, and co-costume designed Waitress. Which starred Carrie Russell and Nathan Fillion, and so, it's really popular.
I actually went to see that movie, so I don't know if you know, but I'm sure you probably do, but Celebration does a pie festival every year, and one year they showed that movie.
Oh, that's so great.
As the, yeah, like, because the whole thing is about
baking and, like, pies and good stuff. Which I've never seen the film.
Oh, it's good.
I want to watch it tonight, I think.
Yeah.
But I have listened to all of the music from the musical because I am that person.
It's a good movie.
So it premiered at the 2007 Sundance Film Festival and it won like a shit ton of awards. Shelley's daughter Sophie has a cameo at the end of the film, which I didn't know. We'll have to look into that more.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Because her daughter was tiny too at the time, or you know, younger even.
Yeah.
Because this would have been during filming.
Sure. Just little baby.
Tiny little baby. Basically, she's on top of the world. She had just finished filming and was waiting to hear if it was going to be announced or included in the Sundance Film Festival in 2007 when she was found dead at approximately 5:45 p.m. November 1st, 2006. Her husband, Andy, discovered her body in the Abiding Square apartment. Some apartment in Manhattan's West Village. I don't fucking know these words.
Oh my god. What is it?
A-B-I-N-G-D. I think it's Abingdon.
Is it like a title?
Yeah, Abingdon Square.
Yes.
Is that a place?
Yes.
Okay.
Abingdon Square apartment in the West Village. So there's villages.
Uh huh.
And then there's squares within those villages.
So basically, it's a fucking city,
Union
and we
Square.
Could just call it by its street name.
No, because there's sections. So like, there's North Lakeland and South Lakeland,
which is obnoxious.
Well, it is because Lakeland's not really that big, right. But like that and how they feel divided.
Yeah,
it is the same in New York, and there's different corners and different neighborhoods. There's Little Italy, there's Chinatown, which I've stayed in a hotel there.
Is it scary?
It's a good spot. No, it was a really nice hotel.
K-Town in L.A. is fucking terrifying.
No, Chinatown's really nice, and it's not that far from Little Italy. It's like a couple blocks, maybe like two, if that. So really good restaurants near there.
Yeah.
And I stayed in like, I don't know, Mom texted me to tell me what you sent me there for my birthday. I went 1 year and just went for, by myself.
Does your mom
and shocked.
Listen to this podcast?
No. She might, though. She listens to My Favorite Murder.
My mom was in town last week.
She has.
And I was going to take her to Waitress.
Yeah.
And she was in town, and we were talking. I was basically just trying to say, I have the worst only child syndrome that has ever happened, because I talk over you all the time.
Right.
Like, and I'm very rude, and I interrupt, which I'm sorry for, but I've apologized to you 100 times, so we're
it's
over.
It's fine.
But I was basically just trying to tell her, like, I don't know how to carry on a conversation like a normal human.
Mm-hmm.
And in doing that, I mentioned that I have a podcast.
Uh-oh.
And she's like, what's the podcast? Let me listen to it. And I'm like, I don't know if you should. It's kind of offensive. I curse a lot. And she's like, you do that anyway. Just let me fucking listen to it. And I'm like, I guess there's no real reason you shouldn't listen to it, but then I never actually gave her the name of it.
So
she's like, I'm just going to Google it. I'll find it.
Is she listening?
Probably. Hi, Mom. I'm sorry.
Hi, Mom.
Please don't be too disappointed.
It was nice meeting you when you were here.
I
hope you had a nice time.
Yeah, I'm sure she did. And I'm sure she's listening.
I'm jealous you guys went to Wasabi.
Ugh, it was so good.
I bet.
Very good.
And crap, did we say too much?
How many times have we talked about food on this show already? Because I think it's at least four.
I don't know. I feel like it's mostly you, though.
I'm very hungry. That's probably what it is.
I'm not.
It's cool. I'm gonna make something. Ooh, I have freezer meals. Put it in a skillet and be done with it.
I have somebody at home making me dinner.
Whoever makes those things, is it Swans?
Depends.
I don't know. It's Swans. The frozen, it's like the Viola ones. Schwans.
Voila.
Voila.
Viola.
Viola. You know. So, whoever that company is, Viola, you want to sponsor me? Send me
Viola
some freezer
Davis
meals?
In your kitchen.
Because
like,
they're
making
so
dinner.
Good. It's like a garlic chicken one, and it blows it out of the fucking water.
I really like the Bertolli one.
Oh, I have one of those, too.
Yes.
It's a chicken for fowl.
I mean, I'm not eating them, but they're
I'm
really
gonna
good.
I'm gonna.
You should.
Fight me.
I'm not fighting you on it. You should totally do it.
And I'm drinking my...
Zatarain's has a really good...
Waikia? It's real fucking good. It's... and I have an extra one if you want one.
I love that water. It's a great water.
Yeah, it's a Hawaiian volcanic filtered natural spring water.
Does it just make you feel so organic and like connected?
It's like I have my shit together when I'm drinking this,
yes.
But I don't.
It's like when I drink a smart water, like a Fiji water, and I'm like, I'm instantly important.
Exactly, yes.
Smart water. You can sponsor me, like Jennifer Aniston style.
Yeah, just
send me
us,
a couple cases.
Yeah.
I need the water with the electrolytes.
I'll carry it everywhere, and we can like just sneak it in the back of all of our Instagram posts.
Every picture we take and post on Instagram.
You know.
I'll have a smart water.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Okay. So, she was found dead by her husband in her Abingdon Square apartment in Manhattan's West Village that she used as an office. Which is horrendous.
I lived on the West Side, but not in the West Village.
Oh, let's brag a little bit.
Near Times Square.
Oh, okay. So, let's brag a little bit more.
I'm sorry. It's near the New Jersey Turnpike. Tunnel. It wasn't
Ooh,
that
that's
exciting.
Not a brag.
There was a lot of traffic, but I walked, so I guess it didn't matter.
So her husband discovered her, which is just the worst.
Mm-hmm.
He had dropped her off.
No, her daughter finding her could have been a lot worse.
Oh, that's true. Her daughter was two, though, so wouldn't understand probably what
no,
was happening.
No, but would know that something was wrong with mommy. Yeah. And can you imagine, like, your kid coming to say, like, oh, mommy's hanging
this
from the
is
shower
sad
curtain.
Time.
I'm just saying, it could have been worse.
Okay. So he dropped her off 9:30 a.m. that morning and was really worried because, Adrian hadn't contacted him that day. And so he went into the building and found the doorman and was like, hi, can you go with me? Cause I think something's wrong. And so him and the doorman went up to the apartment and found her hanging from the shower. Rod.
Poor doorman who just got roped into
exactly,
all of that.
Yeah. Roped. Bad choice of words.
Sorry. I didn't mean that.
They found her body hanging from the shower rod in the bathtub, with a bed sheet around her neck. It's not clear if she was hung with the bed sheet or if she was hung with the rope. I'm gonna go ahead and assume...
Wait, you're telling me there was two different items there?
What do you mean?
A rope and a bed sheet?
I don't know if there was a rope or if she... That's what I'm saying, is it's not clear if she was hung with a rope or if she was hung with a bed sheet.
But is there a rope at all, or are you just
speculating?
There
is no... I'm speculating there may have been
okay.
a rope.
Okay, so what... But
there's a bed sheet.
What that's the case is that there's a bed sheet that
there's
she's
tied
There's
a bed sheet over
with.
Her head. Oh, it does say here, around her neck.
Okay.
Over her head and around her neck.
Okay.
So,
that's an interesting choice.
Right. So, the first thing they noticed when they got up to the apartment is the door wasn't locked. So, they're able to just walk into this apartment, no key. No, nothing. Which is wild to me to have an unlocked door in New York City is, first of all, a huge red flag, because everybody locks their doors at all times.
But if you have a doorman, not really.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, think about it. Like, you pretty much have 24/7 security.
Yeah,
and, like, the doorman at my building,
that doesn't
and
mean
it wasn't
have
even
a
super nice
that lives
one.
In your building.
Well, no, but they don't necessarily, like, do you know how many times I saw somebody in my building? Zero.
Really?
I lived there for a month. And at most, I may have heard people coming in. I know some people had a dog at some point.
Mm-hmm.
But I never saw anybody. So, you don't really... It's not as communal as a lot of people make it... Like, you might think.
Mm-hmm.
Like, maybe in the laundry room, but I
feels like it can be feel really like, lonely.
I mean, yes and no. I mean, I'm assuming people were living there with other people. I was there by myself. I pretty much just went to school, came home, did my homework, made myself dinner, and went to bed. And on the weekends, I just, like, ventured out to where I knew how to get to because I had no money for cabs. So right. I had to take the subway.
Right.
And my knowledge of the subway is very limited.
Right.
I did get lost in Brooklyn one time. So then I had to walk through Brooklyn in Bed-Stuy.
Yikes.
It was alone? A little scary. Yes, alone. I was trying to get to a concert. Oof. Yeah. So I had to ask a couple people, which is so unlike New York because people don't talk to people.
Yeah.
And then I also had to, like, stop a bus driver and be like, do you know where I could get to? And, like, am I far? So I just walked all the way through until I got where I was going. I just kind of figured it out. There was no Google Maps, really. Like,
right.
I was still working, like, with the sidekick situation.
Yeah.
Like, so it was very different. Just kind of had to figure it out.
Okay. Well, her door was unlocked, and it was a red flag for her husband, I guess. And the money was missing from her wallet, which I guess she always carried cash. And there was no cash, and so...
Yeah, well, that's a huge red flag. And it is a red flag if it's not, like, her to leave the door unlocked at all.
So it was definitely a big issue. But the New York City Police Department apparently believed that she had killed herself, even though these things had happened, which is, I mean, wild. New York PD, I mean, they deal with a lot of homicides.
Oh, God, yeah.
And if there's going to be a homicide, for the most part, it's going to be pretty blatant.
Yes.
So for them to rule it as a suicide just to kind of get done with the paperwork and move on with their life, I would not be surprised.
No. It doesn't. But that happens in a lot of departments.
I honestly couldn't blame them. They deal with so much worse.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean, however, that this is she in any way less important.
Absolutely.
So it's kind of disheartening that they didn't take it as seriously as the husband was presenting from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
An autopsy found that she had died as a result of a neck compression, so strangulation, basically. So if you're hanged, I mean, you're gonna have the petechial hemorrhaging that happens around the eyes that shows...
Ooh, those, using your med school knowledge.
Mm-hmm. That shows that those blood vessels have popped and you have cut off the circulation to the brain. So it wouldn't be unheard of for someone who is hung to have died of neck compression
sure.
and have those strangulation signs.
That just makes the case harder.
Exactly. It makes it more complicated. Like, if she had been bludgeoned to death and then was hung, then it's clearly something else. So her husband insisted that his wife was happy in her personal and professional life. Again, she was on top of the world. She had a film that was about to debut at the Sundance Film Festival that she had kicked ass at, won a bunch of awards. Her daughter was 2. She was happily married to a CEO. They were living comfortably. She was living in the theater. And there's absolutely no way.
It looks to me like he's never remarried.
Right. Oh, really?
I don't...
Sad.
It is really sad. And I don't...
It's also kind of sweet, though, that he's that, you know...
Yeah, it doesn't look like, nope, just married to her. Doesn't say he has anybody else either. So,
yikes. So basically he's like, there's no way that she would have killed herself and left our baby motherless. Not a thing that would have happened. So his protest over the following days caused a more careful reexamination of the bathroom where she was found. Also... He's a CEO, so he is high up there. He's going to move mountains if he has to for his wife.
Absolutely.
Which he should. Absolutely. Sure. I commend him for this.
Yeah.
But basically, he wouldn't leave it alone, and the cops finally reexamined. When they did, they found a sneaker print in gypsum dust. I don't know what the fuck gypsum is. On the toilet beside where the body had been found. So they found a shoe print on the toilet in dust. Gypsum dust.
So that's like drywall.
Oh, okay. So they found drywall dust shoe print on the toilet. In the bathroom.
Right, Marshall? It's like drywall. You're going to be so proud of me. I remember what you tell me.
Yes. My mom literally built her house, so I should probably know that.
Probably.
I didn't help. I'm lazy. Sorry, Mom, if you're listening.
No.
So, in the toilet beside where her body had been found, the suspect print was matched to a set of other shoe prints in the building where construction work had been done the day of Shelley's death.
Yep.
So on November 6, 2006, the press reported the arrest of a 19-year-old construction worker, Diego, I want to say Pico, because it's P-I-L-L-C-O, and in Spanish, the L's are a Y.
P-I-L-L-C-O. Pico.
But it might be Pilco. I don't know.
Interesting.
He's an Ecuadorian illegal immigrant, sad time, who, according to police, had confessed on tape to attacking Shelley and then staging the fake suicide by hanging her. Diego's original version of what happened was that when Shelley asked if the noise could be kept down, he threw a hammer at her and was afraid that she would make a complaint against him and that might get him deported. And so he followed her back into her apartment and then where the... and then... excuse me. He followed her back into her apartment. She hit him and was killed by a fall during the struggle. Okay. We'll take that and run with it. Subsequently, sure. Diego had given a completely different account another day. Subsequently, had given a completely different account in which he said while on break, he noticed her returning from the apartment and followed her. After assaulting her and rendering her unconscious, he killed her by staging the fake suicide. The second version was consistent with the lack of dust on Shelley's shoes, which she was not wearing when she was found, and seemed to be a confession to murder, but prosecutors reportedly thought that if charged with murder, Diego might return to his original account, and a jury trial could find him guilty of a lesser charge. So, basically what's happening is, he says, okay, yes, I killed her, but what happened is I threw a hammer at her, I thought she was gonna tell on me, and then I was gonna get deported, so, I started fighting her because she hit me, and she fell and died, and then I made it look like a suicide so I wouldn't get in trouble. And then the second time he tells this story, he says, I saw her while I was on break, I followed her, I assaulted her and rendered her unconscious, so I don't know if that means physical or sexual,
assault?
Right.
Right.
But he assaulted her, she was unconscious, and then he killed her by staging the fake suicide because, again, he didn't want to get in trouble and get deported. And then the prosecutors, were like, okay, fine, we'll take this, confession and see if a jury will find him guilty to at least something so that, you know, somebody has to pay for this murder.
Right.
So the medical examiner determined that Shelley was still alive when she was hanged, rendering both of those stories hashtag bullshit. Because in the first story, he says he killed her, or she died during a fall. In the second story, he says she died when he faked the suicide. Or before he had faked the right. suicide. So when the medical examiner is saying clearly she was hanged, therefore it's not a suicide, it's a murder by hanging.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. So Diego pleaded guilty of first degree manslaughter, which as we heard in Stephanie's last episode, means that he killed her for sure, but maybe didn't mean to, or maybe didn't plan was it.
Negligent about the
correct
his behavior.
And actions, he was sentenced rather. To 25 years in prison without parole. At the sentencing, Shelley's husband and family members said they would never forgive him. And Andy is quoted saying, "You are nothing more than a cold-blooded killer, and I hope that you will rot in jail."
And he will.
And he will.
And he is, I should say.
He also, the family said in a closing statement of remembrance that Adrian was the kindest, warmest, most loving, generous person they had ever known. She was incredibly funny, smart, talented, bright light with an infectious laugh and a huge smile that radiated her inner and outer beauty. He says she was my best friend and the person without whom, with whom I was supposed to grow old.
And that explains why he's still single.
Still single. And it's just, it's
raising his daughter.
It's very, very sad. And there's a lot to this article.
I mean, it sounds like I did a little bit of research while you were discussing.
Oh, did you?
I did. So it sounds like, he has, like a foundation for her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sorry, not to steal, like, what you're talking about.
No,
but,
you're good.
He also takes a little bit of a political stance with her murder.
Mm-hmm.
In the recent times about immigration and stuff, there's an article on the New York Times,
mm-hmm.
Where his article is entitled, "My Wife's Killer Was Not an Illegal Immigrant."
Mm-hmm.
We know all the details, but basically it's discussing the political climate and the feelings. But he essentially said that, let me see, sorry. Adrian was not murdered by an illegal immigrant per se. She fell victim to a depraved killer who simply happened to be an undocumented immigrant. It is an obvious distinction, almost too obvious, but it's an important one to consider as the country goes further down the dangerous path of demonizing those not born here. Basically stating that, his reason for killing Adrian and the relatively lenient sentence he received certainly feeds our now president's xenophobic fear-mongering narrative.
Right.
But beyond the rhetoric, there's no clear cause and effect. His rationale was no different from that of an American citizen who, in the act of a crime, kills his witness to avoid prosecution and imprisonment. Attributing his heinous act to his immigration status dilutes the more relevant truth that he lacked the ability to know right from wrong and had zero respect for human life.
Right.
Which is, I mean, like, what a perspective to have.
Uh-huh. After, especially after something horrible has happened. It's like, it's on par with standing up in a courtroom and saying, I know what you did was wrong, I forgive you, and I wish you the best.
Right.
Which is, it has to take the most guts. And I, as a Leo, hold grudges forever, and I don't let them go.
Yep.
It's who I am as a person.
Yep.
So for him to be able to be like, yes, he was an immigrant, yes, he was illegal, but he murdered my wife, and anyone else could have also, it takes such an understanding and a strong foundation in who you are as a person to be able to separate the two.
And not
demonize an entire group of people mm-hmm. because of the actions of one.
Absolutely. And he ends the article to say that, while I believe that the country must do more to secure its borders, deport non-citizen criminals, and protect Americans from foreign terrorists, I also believe we must find a realistic, humane path to citizenship for the millions of decent, hardworking immigrants who love this country as much as I do, regardless of whether they are documented or not. And basically, we just need more compassion.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what his wife would want. That's
for sure. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Another thing is that foundation, the Adrian Shelley Foundation that he created,
mm-hmm.
Goes to support women in filmmaking.
That's awesome.
Which is just the most badass thing, because Wonder Woman, let's just talk about that for a second. My husband is a huge comic book person.
Of course.
He doesn't like DC or Marvel people, but...
Oh, he's very picky.
Very, very picky. But Wonder Woman kicked ass, and I think a lot of the reason that it did is because it was a film about women made by a woman, you know? And
yeah.
It had a very feminine perspective, and it wasn't one of, oh, look how hot she looks in this costume.
Right.
Look how badass this lady is, and she can kill you.
Yeah, but she can be badass and look hot.
Right. And she does.
The beauty
she accomplishes
woman.
Both. But the Adrian Shelley Foundation, just a quick quote from this, says, it's a nonprofit organization with a critical mission, to support women filmmakers. And it basically says, our mission is simple yet critical, supporting women filmmakers. We've partnered with the finest academic, and filmmaking institutions, including Sundance Institute, AFI, IFP, Women in Film, Tribeca, Nantucket University, Rooftop Films, to provide scholarships, production grants, finishing funds, and living stipends. just to help women live their dream and achieve what they want to achieve and just kind of kill it and shatter that glass ceiling.
And it's nice that he can do that for others, you know, when his wife was...
Yep, exactly. So if you'd like to, it's been 10 years, so they just had their 10th anniversary and their 10th celebration.
Yep.
If you'd like to donate or if you'd like to learn more, the Adrienne Shelley Foundation, that's A-D-R-I-E-N-N-E, Shelley, S-H-E-L-L-Y, foundation.org. You can find it online. You can donate there.
Wait, is there an extra E in there?
Yep. A-D-R-I-E-N-N-E-S-H-E-L-L-Y.
Oh, it is just a Y.
Yep. Foundation.org. You can learn, you can find statistics, you can donate, you can learn all about their foundation, how you can help, how you can contribute. If you are in the film industry or if you know of some way that, you could assist if, I don't know, even if you're a costume designer that you're willing to work for a discounted price, or if you're somebody who, I'm like a makeup artist, and you're willing to help support an all-female production or something like that, send these guys an email or send me an email and I'll forward it. I'll take that upon myself. That's fine.
Also, quick note, Cheryl Hines is also in Waitress.
Is she?
Yes.
Oh, that and sounds like a...
smaller part.
Yeah, I was. I picture her as like a soccer mom with like really big, great.
There she is with Keri Russell.
Stop. Yeah, that sweet little baby. Mm-hmm. Oh, and Keri Russell, she has a message on here on this website.
Okay.
The Adrienne Shelley Foundation. And it's just like hi. She was great. She changed my life. She kicked ass. And this is what she would want her legacy to be.
Let's keep doing it.
So let's do it. Women, go out there, kick ass.
Yeah. Take, do what you want.
Live your life.
Mm-hmm.
You do you.
I'm here for it.
Let's do it.
I'm doing it.
And, you know, just go out.
Work. Got big dreams.
Work. W-E-R-K.
Yeah.
And I think that's it for this episode.
Yeah.
So, good. Social media shit?
Yeah. Please
Instagram, do stuff. Instagram, fan podcast.
Send us things.
Twitter.
I know we ask every time. Send us makeup.
We
love free stuff.
Makeup. And also food. So, you know, if you want to sponsor us. Or if you want, I don't know, if you... You know what? Here's what we haven't done yet.
You know what I want? I want the butcher box.
I don't know what that is.
It's basically, you know how there's like those meal sending things? It's basically like that, but just for meat. So like...
Need?
Yeah. So you can get like bacon, chicken, beef.
I'm here for this.
Like, yeah. So I'm like... Uh-huh. I've been debating biting the bullet. I just have to do I have to be better about paying attention to what I'm spending and if it ends up being worth
it. So maybe, hi, Butcher Box. Here we are.
Yeah.
We like meats.
Yes, we do.
Let me get your meat, okay?
Give it to me now.
I need all of your meat.
All of it.
Take your meat and throw it in my face.
This is probably not the advertisement you want, but...
You know what?
We're open to scripts.
It's, you're going
to
get...
This isn't appropriate.
You're going to get some airtime, so... Take it. Take it or leave it, Butcher Box.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
I prefer that you take it. Take my meat.
Also,
no, give me your meat.
The Paleo Bakehouse also looks really good.
I don't know what that is.
I know. I'll teach you one day. But the Butcher Box is really what I'm after. I'm like, man.
Same. Yes.
I pull up the website every now and then. I'm like, do I do it? I just need to figure out what I'm spending on it. If it ends up, if I'm getting the right amount, it'll be enough to last.
Got it.
So, we'll see.
Well, social media, Twitter, Instagram. Yeah.
All the things.
We have a website, Fame and Misfortune Podcast. We have an email, fameandmisfortune@gmail.com.
And send Instagram.
And we'll answer your makeup questions. And we'll answer your skin questions.
Or any questions, I guess. If you need dating advice, I guess
we can if you give have a golden retriever that you feel like you really want to share a picture of.
Yep.
I mean, I'm here for it.
We can even post it. So, it's cool.
This has been great. I have been Erin. That has been Stephanie.
That's me.
And,
I hope that's not confusing.
We're out of here, so.
All right.
Later days.
Bye and good night.